But before all of that, we get on the telephone line and welcome in our friend Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports to talk some FCS football. Brian, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Rich. Appreciate you having me on every week. Thanks, sir.
Well, we love it. You guys are doing such a great job of covering FCS football. And then on my way in today, I happened to see a brand new story up about Maine football. Are the Black Bears for real? And I guess we'll find out Saturday night, won't we?
Oh, yeah. I think this weekend we will. Yeah, that story was written by Chase Kitty, who's one of our correspondents who covers the CAA. And he went to James Madison, so he's very familiar with the conference and, who's been strong, that sort of thing. So, yeah, this weekend will tell us a lot, won't it? I mean, it seems like we want to run with the narrative of Towson's offense versus Maine's defense, and yet Towson's playing pretty good defense, and Maine has, been, as you could have seen with the Georgia Southern game, Chris Ferguson able to move the ball even on an FBS team pretty well through the air. So I'm curious to see how it all turns out.
Yeah, I am too, and I think it's a statistical anomaly, but this black hole defense of Maine through the first couple of games, no sacks so far, which is highly unlike them, but then they've been up against a couple of quarterbacks who were pretty quick and always on the run, and well, here comes another one with Flacco coming to town.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, and Georgia Southern, you're not going to get a whole lot of sack action against them, just like you wouldn't against Navy or the Citadel, teams like that. But, Flacco's pretty slippery. But at the same time, he will be dropping back some, and we know Maine's good at that. So I bet you that's more of a factor, in this one than maybe the first two, and they're going to need it. You're going to need to shut Towson down a couple times because that certainly is their strength. They can slice and dice you with Shane Simpson, who I think is the best all-purpose, all-around player in the country in the FCS. He can kill you in so many ways, funny. You can catch the ball to the backfield. He can run it. He can return kicks, return punts. And next thing you know, there's 7 points on the board. So, it's really, honestly, and this is a great weekend for games in the FCS nationally. This is clearly one of the best 2-3 games in the country. So it'll be a good one.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I want to talk about some of the other games coming up. Also want to talk about your top 25 this week. You, as a number of voters, do published your submission for the Stats FCS poll, and I understand not everybody was in complete agreement with you.
You saw that, huh?
I did. Can't please everyone.
No, and a lot of those fans live in the state of Montana. Yeah, they were all over me within about 3 nanoseconds of releasing that. And, that's just part of trying to be, transparent, full disclosure, whatever you want to call it. I feel like the poll has a lot of problems, and I don't want to be a part of it. So I'm not trying to hide behind anything. This is what I'm thinking. It's probably vastly different than what the overall poll will come out with. But, this is how I see it. And, yes, whenever you do that, people try to poke holes in it and try to come at it with an alternative view. And that's all good because that's what we're here for is debate. We're here to have fun with this. And fans, we all know what fan is short for, which is fanatic. And that can be an irrational mental state sometimes, but that's what's so awesome about it. So that's why we do it.
Well, I appreciate anybody like yourself that's willing to be transparent and put your poll and your selections out there. And it generates debate. It gets people talking about what we think is the best level of college football. So I'm all for all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. We're all in the same boat. I think it's the more buzz, the better. And, coaches will even tell you off the record that they love it. On the record, they'll say, we don't pay attention to that. They're full of it because they are. They do pay attention. And any buzz is good buzz, like you said, for our favorite level. And, let's talk about this 12 hours after the games are done. Why not? Why wait till Friday,
Exactly. We're talking with Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports here on Downtown. Well, if Maine-Towson isn't the game of the week, the one that might be is Jacksonville State playing host to Eastern Washington. How do you size up this matchup?
I think there's going to be about 400 points. because neither one of them seem to be able to stop teams. But both of them have, well, really arguably two of the best, I'd say five quarterbacks in the country are going to be playing in this game. And Eric Berrier for Eastern Washington, who I got to watch up close and personal in Frisco. And I dealt with him in recruiting years ago, and I was amazed that Eastern Washington got this kid. And he was everything we thought he would be during recruiting when Gage Guberud went down injured last year. We thought that would be the end of the year. And Eric took him to the national title game as a backup quarterback. You got him on one side, and then you've got, you know, Zarek Cooper at Jacksonville State, who I also got to see in the kickoff classic last year against North Carolina A&T. You know, Dabo Swinney recruited him to Clemson first. Kid's got a cannon for an arm, and he's excited. I think he's still trying to fit into that system a little bit. But when he gets rolling, he can crush it. So don't be surprised if that game's like in the 40s, like 48 to 45, one of those type games.
Well, we got to see both of those quarterbacks. Maine met both teams in the playoffs last year. We were especially impressed with Eric Berrier. But I wonder about that Eastern Washington defense after giving up 31 points to Lindenwood last week.
Yeah, the D2 scoring 31 on an FCS national runner-up tells you, that they're rebuilding more than people realize. And that's like, if you look at my poll ballot, I've had Eastern Washington kind of drifting in the 6 to 7 to 8 range. And I've always kind of felt that way. I don't feel like they're third behind the Big Two. I actually feel like Maine is one of those teams, you know, in that kind of a spot. Because Eastern Washington really did lose a lot. You know, everybody points to Eric and how exciting he is. But if you were in Frisco last year, you realize this is a senior-laden team. That's how they did this. You know, they regrouped after losing to Weber State, and they found themselves through leadership and a talented quarterback, and they made a run because they were experienced, and a lot of those guys are gone. So I think the biggest problem is in the secondary, and that's going to get exploited, I think. There's going to be a lot of points.
Very interesting game down at Delaware. North Dakota State doesn't leave that Fargo Dome very often. Can the Blue Hens pull the big upset this weekend?
Absolutely not.
I agree with you.
I think Delaware is inflated right now. Not their fault. It's, again, voters not paying attention. They are not paying attention to the fact that Delaware had like 12 guys signed to get a shot in NFL camp. That usually means you're rebuilding a little bit. They beat Delaware State, one of the worst teams in the MEAC, really one of the worst teams in the FCS, period. And then they escaped Rhode Island. The one thing about Delaware, it's a great program, and this is not going to last forever. They're going to rebuild, and they're going to be, you know, gangbusters in the next couple of years, but they do still play pretty tough, gritty physical defense, and that may keep them in some games this year and may give teams in CAA a headache, but they just have problems on offense. They just can't move against a really good defense. I mean, even Rhodey really had them shut down. It's just Delaware shut Rhodey down. So, you know, before they went to overtime, scored 1 million points. So, North Dakota State, even though they're rebuilding by their own standards, which is when NDSU rebuilds, it's a little different than some programs.
Yeah.
They're still going to romp. Yeah.
Let me ask you about a team that we don't see much, we don't know a whole lot about, but to see them rising up in the standings, and another team, I wonder if they're for real. What do you think, Brian, of Central Arkansas?
Yes. I think very highly of Central Arkansas. They had a coaching change beginning of last year. Their coach went, took over South Alabama, Coach Campbell. And when that happened, they moved Nathan Brown up to the head coaching role. And Nathan was a star quarterback 10 years ago at UCA and went to the Senior Bowl, went to the NFL Combine. I mean, he was a great player. So he came back to his school. And, you know, last year they had the lowest number of returning starters in the country. They only had 8 returning. from the Southland champion team of 2017. And Nathan led them to a 6-5 record with all those new faces, and they were competitive in their league, and they actually had a say in the title run and might have been able to get in the playoff picture if they'd won maybe one or two more, because they actually were, I think, within a field goal of three other of those losses. So they played really well last year. Now you see what they're doing this year. They have got a great quarterback in Braylon Smith. And I don't know, I've talked a lot to Nathan and his team. I met him out in Houston at Southland Media Days. I really think that's a team you're going to want to keep an eye on in the playoffs.
And you've written about this and talked about it as well. Could Montana, not just the team, the state, be back with two potential playoff contenders in the Grizz and Montana State?
I think so. And I think the only roadblock for that to happen, talking about both of them, you know, coming back to national prominence, is really only if Montana's schedule trips them up. Because as you know, in the CAA, because like Maine isn't playing James Madison, there is schedule rotation. That's just the way it works. And it just lines up this year that Montana gets the gauntlet and Eastern Washington and Montana State don't get hardly anything. It's really weird. And I'm talking about basically the top third of the conference, top half. So like Montana State has this really easy path, but mind you, if they lose a game to one of those teams, they shouldn't. It's going to hurt them really badly, but they shouldn't lose from here until November, whereas Montana State could lose three times. So that's the thing, but I think both of them are really good, and I think that their rivalry game the week before Thanksgiving is going to be a monster, even more so than it usually is. So it's getting fun again in Montana, and the fans are getting cocky, let me tell you.
We love that. And finally, want to ask you, on the Coach's Corner podcast this week, you had a chance to catch up with Kurt Cignetti, the JMU coach. And boy, he is a football guy through and through. Great family history there, and success at Elon, and looks to do even more at JMU. He's a good coach.
He is. He's a good coach, and I always heard that. I never got to talk to him at Elon, and I tried. You know, and I always wondered, did he come from the Nick Saban school of, you know, keep all media at arm's length? But that hasn't been the case at JMU. I think he has embraced the fact that at JMU, you know, you're going to have a lot more media. There's a lot of interest. And he was awesome on the Coach's Corner. Yes, he's very focused. He's serious, but you know, we got him to crack up a couple times. And I'll tell you, if you really want to get, you know, to Kurt Cignetti, I think, yeah, you bring up his family. I mean, he's so proud of his dad, you know, and his brother's an NFL coach. That was the first time I ever got to talk to Kurt, but I really enjoyed it. He was great.
Check out the podcast and obviously follow the great coverage of Hero Sports. Brian McLaughlin joins us every Thursday afternoon to break it down. Brian, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it, man.